That's what makes the odds are is number one night in the Pacific Garden we do in Chicago. I won a four drummer song for the Lord. I was a college teacher. I had a great career ahead of me. I won a four drummer song for the Lord, and it was wonderful. Oh, how stuff changed that fool, sorry fella. And he was, I remember when I said, come on, get out here and pray. Instead of leaving, he just fell on his face down the altar, cried and prayed, said, Lord, if you don't stay down home. So somebody else wants me. Said, no, why don't want me? I don't want you who wants to live with no bum picking up cigarettes up from the streets and picking anywhere he can and selling his soul for a drink of liquor. Said, my children are ashamed of me. I don't blame them. He said, nobody will hire me. Everybody will come quick to get drunk if I get any chance. He said, Lord, if you don't stay down home, no. And the Lord said, next time I come back, he cleaned up the second day, he had a haircut, another day, he had a job. And here he is, 9 after 9, bringing his old buddy's head to get saved, and that's wonderful. I said, Lord, this year, this college teacher never wrote his first song. I said, you just let me, I'll do this the rest of my life. And I told the preacher in the field, I said, I made a vow to God that day. I said, Lord, I don't have the grave, for the doors of the grave. He was a great preacher the day then. I said, I don't have this romantic instinct and the showmanship that some preachers have. I said, but Lord, I promise you this, I'm going to sit down and listen, and I'm going to be drunk, and I'm going to be bribed, and I'm going to be scared, and I'm going to be followed. I promise you this, Lord. So I said, I'm going to keep it so I always get a carriage when I talk to the man who's got the bread. I'm going to keep it that way. Now, you like it or not, but I said, that's I'm going to keep it that way. Now, I'm going to make sure about this that somebody better say any questions here. He's the one who has the bread. Oh, I know preachers say, why, they just belong to the Hotel Breeders Association. Hey, the gang's off here. Then they just backflappers and handshakers and maybe this and so on. So, oh, they don't have any bread and they don't get people saved. I don't see what I'm saying. So, that came to friend, let me three loaves. Friend of mine, the jury is coming in. I have nothing to say before. Three loaves. What does that mean? So the pastor made it contains all the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that goes with the soul of man. Don't you think he made it so? And it is three loaves. For a friend of mine, it's there to come in. When you notice, he said, a friend is come to me. Ah, this fellow said, there's one person that's depending on me to give him the bread from heaven. A friend that's there to come to me. You know, everybody's got somebody that you might win that maybe nobody else can win. Do you know everybody's got somebody that can say what has to be part of him? Did you know everybody's got somebody God wants you to win? You're the best chance that ever has to be saved. Did you know that? Oh, yes. That's why God puts us in different situations. Now, I've got a lot of revival campaigns I used to find and have a blessed revival. A lot of old sinners they prayed for 20 years and get saved. Now, those are nice. I'm up there with other branches trying to get this fellow for 20 years. Never did. They saved my knee. But I found somebody then, I found somebody else that I worked and prayed and cried over and couldn't. And somebody came along and they couldn't be candid to it as I thought I could. And they got the fellow saved right now. And I found this out. God has given certain souls to certain people, and God has given you somebody you can win, and if you don't do it, that'll be too bad. So he said, a friend of mine is going to come to me, and I have nothing to say before him. You know, God gives everybody somebody that they can win. And I thought, when Texas, I remember an old deacon, Baptist deacon, talking, I like to ruin me. He said to me one time, Brother John, you know, I just couldn't hear you preachers off the George of the Church. Oh, I thought, I must be better preacher than I thought. I was like that woodpecker landed on the telephone pole one day, and he talked to his dad and said, yes, sir, I hear it, there's a worm in there, and I'm going to get it. He breaks this, and this tail better than took a good grip on that bottle of that little telephone pole. He got his old chicken wheel ready to go. To and hit that, about that damn light and struck that pole and flipped the telephone pole and knocked the woodpecker out in the tree and he lost two tail feathers and he prayed himself and said, a man never knows his own tree. But I found this to everybody, the illness of one thing every preacher, if you still the Spirit of God and preaches the gospel, will be the best preacher somebody ever heard. Every preacher can be to somebody the best preacher he knows. unflattering. Aren't you glad, God, that no big man look at this little God? Aren't you glad that anybody can be rid of somebody coming up with a pile of drops on that you do right, that somebody you can win, nobody else can win? I used to do a preach that, and I remember, and I was at the citywide campaign, Pontiac, Michigan, years ago. Great, take one tabernacle, seated 2,300 people, the churches, one of them churches in the town back of it. I sent word to my brother, Dr. Bill Lyons, and I said, Bill, I want you to come help me. I want you to have charge of a lot of the personal work and publicity promotion and some of the meetings of converts. You come on with me. And Bill said, well, I said, I'll take you away. And he said, well, I know I'm going to chat about getting this campaign in the house. Well, I'll come. So Bill, my brother, Bill came and stayed with me in the hotel. And he did lots of good work in the campaign. Now there was a law center there named Earl Brown in Pontiac. And early in the meeting, I got a burden in. His wife was a Christian woman, And I early got a burden about Earl Brown. I spoke to him, and he know he didn't want to be saved. And so one day we had a prayer meeting, his wife and some other good Christians had prayed for the long term, and I was there. And we prayed, God, to save Earl Brown today. And we talked to have an exit. We believe God's going to save Earl Brown that day. So the night service came, and I prayed. And gave an invitation. A lot of other people say, Earl Brown didn't come. And then I did what I was ordinary to do, is I'd take a crowd up in order to leave the platform, go way back down to God. But in that time, I left the service and go to talk to the singers. And I went back there and said, Earl, come on. You're supposed to say tonight. You ought to come now. We've been praying.
Now we got somebody in mind that's dear to you, whom we're unsaved. and we got somebody's mind.
Maybe it's a brother or a sister, maybe it's a mother. Oh, I don't know who it is. Somebody, maybe it's a good buddy, a good friend.
How about thinking about somebody
that made it look to you that you felt able to win, but you haven't? A friend of mine has just come to me. How many here have got some info, sister-in-law, brother, sister-mother, of your very dear friend, the next door neighbor, one of your boys or girls? How many said, I've got somebody in mind that I'll to win, that I have the best chance of anybody of seeing Christ out when it's said to the end? How many think of a fellow like that? Don't you see, a friend of mine is securing the company. Now comes the sad part, and he says, oh, I'm on the bread. I've got things to set for more. That's a prayer, baby. Now that's the way you let it come. You want to learn this lesson on prayer, do you? All right, there it is. You put the blame on sinners. You put the blame on these dark things. You put talking about a Tommy game. You put them, well, people stay home looking at TV. You put making huge and analyze. The trouble is not with the world, it's with the church. The harvest is white, but the Lord church is you. The trouble is not for the harvest, it's with the laborers. You see that? The Lord said, if my people should call the money, you shall humble. Not the devil's ground, the Lord's people. And so you as well make the mind. The reason your love is going to hell is you. You are the reason your love is going to hell. When God puts that woman, doesn't have what it takes. A friend of mine is turning to come to me. And I said, I want to teach you how to pray. All right, that's it. They said, he doesn't wish to just pray for this compassion for sinners and walk the sinner's grave and talk about you pray. All right, I said, you're going to have to learn this. Buckle down now and confess those sins that you don't have the power you want to have. It's your fault you're going to hell. That's what you need. Oh, yeah. So, you read the confession. I was in Scotland and I preached to 600 preachers at one time in Scotland. I have a real conference. Preached 600 preachers, and I preached on this subject here. And I said to them, well, now, you've got to be somebody in Scotland to get here. But you've got to finish college and finish the seminary. You've got to have a couple of degrees. And then you wear either black suit or salt and pepper, a black coat and a striped breeches and so on. And you've got to go all along. And you've got to have a woman to all this. So I had these 600 preachers, both of them Presbyterians, some of them Baptists, and I said, sir, I have a distinguished and liberated crowd today, and so I said, you can appreciate a classic poet. I want to give you a classic bit of literature, a classic poem that really illustrates what's wrong with you preachers. And so I said, I'll quote it to you. I quoted, oh, Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get it put on the bowl. And when she got there, the cupboard was there, so the poor dog had none. That's classic poem, isn't it? And so I said, if you prefer it in the words of Alfred Lord Tennyson, the British poet laureate, he said, when he told that in memoriam about his dear friend Arthur Hallam, the dying preacher, he said, now the hungry sheep look up and are not fed. I said, the real truth about it, you don't have what it takes, and your people around you going to hell. And that's what's troubling your loved ones and your family and your friends. And then here, I want to help. How many have a brother or a sister on faith? Let's see your hands. A brother or a sister on faith. All right, you know who's praying about that? Who should fool us? Think some stranger outside the world ought to be responsible about that? You think somebody else can hardly know them? No, but you that are right, plugged in and close to them and talk to them all, but you're going off the window, loved ones, in most cases. How many have a next door neighbor that you've known long and well? And think a lot of them. Let's see it in. Those of them right there, next door neighbor on stage. How many have some in-laws on stage? Let's see your hands. In-laws on stage, great minute, you know. How many work at school with somebody or work in the same place as somebody's on stage? You see them daily. Let's see your hands. On stage, you look up like that. All right. A friend of mine is church to come to me. And I've got to confess the board. Don't you think it'd be a good thing if you were buying again? Don't, the trouble is, I don't have what it takes. I don't have this gold. I don't have the heavenly bread. I don't have the heavenly bread. That's what